From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo and Joe Biden agree to elevate Indonesia-US partnership. Indonesia and Japan plan to accelerate energy transition at IPEF meeting. And here's the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and POTUS Joe Biden agreed in Washington, D.C. on Monday to elevate partnership between the two countries to a Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, or CSP. As reported by Antara, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto, who accompanied the president on the visit, said trade cooperation would be a key focus of the partnership. Under the CSP, both countries may need to implement reforms to bolster trade, including an extension of Generalized System of Preferences, or GSP, facility by the U.S. to Indonesia. According to Minister Hartarto in a statement issued on Wednesday, Indonesia encourages the U.S. Congress to expedite the ratification of the GSP given its importance for supply chain and the reduction of U.S. dependence on Chinese imports. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto and Japanese Minister of Economics, Trade and Industry Nishimura Yasutoshi discussed opportunities for economic cooperation and accelerating energy transition between both nations. The discussion took place on the sidelines of Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for Prosperity ministerial meeting in San Francisco, the United States. According to Minister Hartarto in an official statement received on Wednesday, the meeting discussed the exploration of cooperation opportunities in various sectors, such as renewable energy, technology, infrastructure, fisheries, and the negotiation progress in IPEF. Secretary General of Indonesian Ulama's Council, or MUI, Amir Syah Tambunan stated MUI's Fatwa No. 83 of 2023 concerning the law on support for Palestinian struggle is also a momentum for the revival of domestic products. With this fatwa, Indonesian domestic products can step up for the benefit of Indonesian people and nation. This was pointed out by Amir Syah Tambunan at a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. He made the statement to provide clarification to the public's questions on the impact of losses in sales transaction for Israeli-affiliated products in Indonesia due to the influence of fatwa. Minister of Defense Prabowo Subianto alluded to the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Gaza Strip, Palestine, in his opening remarks at the 17th ASEAN Defense Minister Meeting, or ADMM, in Jakarta on Wednesday. As reported by Antara, in the presence of defense ministers of countries of ASEAN, Minister Subianto reiterated that Indonesia strongly advocates an immediate end to the acts of violence occurring in Gaza and a safe and uninterrupted corridor for distribution of humanitarian aid. According to Minister Prabowo, this stance is driven by moral obligation. He also said that Indonesia would like to call on all countries to take a similar stance for the sake of relieving the ordeal of the Palestinian people who have been displaced from their homes for a long time. Still related to Gaza, US President Joe Biden on Wednesday said he had made it clear to Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that a two-state solution was the only answer to resolve the Israel-Palestinian conflict and that occupying Gaza would be a big mistake. As reported by NightNews.com, Biden told reporters he was doing everything in his power to free hostages held by Hamas militant group in Gaza, but that didn't mean sending in the US military. The POTUS had told reporters this week that his message to the hostages was, "Hang in there, we are coming," raising questions about what he meant. The UK's controversial plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda was ruled unlawful by the Supreme Court on Wednesday, dealing a potential fatal blow to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's flagship migration policy and sparking a furious revolt from the right wing of British politics. As quoted by CNN.com, the UK's highest court ruled unanimously against the government, siding instead with a previous appeals court ruling that found the policy, which has been roundly condemned by humanitarian bodies, was not lawful. Vietnamese President Vo Van Thuong attended a policy discussion at the Council on Foreign Relations, or CFR, in San Francisco, the USA, on Wednesday. As part of his trip to attend the APEC Economic Leaders Week and bilateral activities in the USA. As reported by VOVworld.vn, in his address, President Thuong highlighted Vietnam's great achievement after nearly 40 years carrying out the Doi Moi or renewal cause. He reiterated Vietnam's foreign policy of independence, self-reliance, peace, friendship, cooperation and development, and diversification and multilateralization of relations. Vietnam actively and proactively promotes comprehensive and extensive international integration and strive to be a friend, reliable partner, and an active and responsible member in the international community. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Kazakhstan Pencaksila team, with the support of the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Astana, won 9 gold medals at the 7th Asian Senior Pencaksila Championship and the first Middle East Open Championship in Dubai from 7 to 13 November. In a release received in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Ambassador to Kazakhstan, M. Fazrul Rahman, said that Pencaksilat diplomacy is important because both countries like martial arts. According to Ambassador Fazrul, Indonesia wants to strengthen relations with Kazakhstan and Tajikistan through Pencaksilat because the people of Kazakhstan and Tajikistan like martial arts. In addition, Pencaksilat has been recognized as an intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO since 2019. The Indonesian Embassy in Astana, in collaboration with the Ministry of Sports, the Indonesian Pencaksilat Association, IPSI, the International Pencaksilat Federation, Persilat, and universities, has provided support for the progress of Pencaksilat in Kazakhstan. The support includes bringing in coaches from Indonesia, renting tournament buildings, providing silat uniforms, protective clothing, and Pencaksilat property, including regularly supporting regional and national-level Pencaksilat tournament. Besides, the Indonesian Embassy in Astana inaugurated the Pencaksilat Corner on November 28 last year to make it easier for martial artists to find references related to this martial arts and sport. This year, the Indonesian Embassy brought in 3 silat trainers, namely Abdul Haris, Lucky Faturrahman, and Tri Utaminingsih, as a result of collaboration with Yogyakarta State University and the Kazakhstan Pencaksilat Association. The 3 coaches then traveled for 3 months to several cities in Kazakhstan to help martial arts prepared for championship, including the championship in Dubai. The achievements made are quite impressive, starting from winning 1 silver and 1 bronze in Malacca, Malaysia in 2022, to winning 9 gold medals in the international championship in Dubai in 2023. The participation and achievement of the Kazakhstan team mark an important milestone in the development of Pencaksilat in this Eurasian country, so that in the future, Kazakhstan can become the capital of Pencaksilat in Central Asia and Eurasia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with an event on November 16, 2010, World Angklung Day. World Angklung Day is an important day to commemorate the day when UNESCO recognized Angklung as World Heritage from Indonesia. The World Angklung Day is celebrated every November 16th, commemorating the date on which UNESCO designated Angklung as an intangible cultural heritage of humanity from Indonesia on November 16, 2010. Let's turn to the commemoration of International Day for Tolerance on 16th November 1995. International Day for Tolerance is a day of momentum for reflection and awareness campaigning to respect each other's differences. UNESCO declared the International Day of Tolerance on the 50th anniversary of the United Nations on 16th November 1995. On that day, UNESCO member state adopted the Declaration of Principles on Tolerance, which argues that tolerance is a way to avoid indifference in public life. From the results of the declaration, every 16th November, UN members are invited to establish the International Day of Tolerance. We end today in history with 16th November 2002, when SARS was recorded for the first time in Guangdong, China. On November 16, 2002, the first case of severe acute respiratory syndrome known as SARS virus was reported in Guangdong, China. This disease is caused by SARS-associated coronavirus or SARS-CoV, one of the families of coronaviruses that causes COVID-19. The way of transmission of SARS is almost the same, which can spread through the air and droplets or saliva from infected people. By July 2003, there were over 8,000 documented cases of SARS, which had spread to 37 countries and resulted in 774 deaths. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Begitu besar dan tulus. hanya untuknya.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Environment and Forestry Ministry discuss forestry development with UGM. The Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, had a meeting with 20 professors and deans of Forestry Faculty Gajah Mada University, or UGM, discussing sustainable forestry development in Indonesia. When opening the meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Siti Nurbaya conveyed the meeting aims to see the forestry development paradigm and other things to identify their reorientation. The minister said the sustainable forestry development paradigm in Indonesia needs a formulation so it becomes an important note for future forestry management, including the National Forestry Plan. From the meeting, the Environment and Forestry Minister mentioned some things. The first is that in the green manufacturing orientation, the method in the manufacturing or industry in minimizing waste and pollution via product design and process with sustainability as priority will be the ministry's guidance. Then the presidential regulation on social forest-based integrated area development has been available. Even the government had made national parks a center of source of regional economic growth and became an example for regional revenue distribution, such as Komodo National Park and Mount Ciremai National Park. Minister Siti also encouraged the national agroforestry era as the character of forest management in Indonesia. With a green manufacturing approach, she asked for a development and study of the Borneo River basin with a Kalimantan typical character, as well as any existing potential and threat in the 23 million hectares of Bornean ecosystem and forest. Meanwhile, UGM professor San Afri Awang pointed out that they appreciated everything implemented by the Environment and Forestry Ministry. Many things were done, including innovations via corrective actions and other programs of the ministry in the last 9 years. Furthermore, San Afri Awang highlighted 7 points of National Forestry Plan, namely Forestry Management Macro Plan, Provincial Forestry Plan, and Forestry Management at Unit Level. Then the Forestry Development Plan, Forestry Use Business Plan, Intersectoral Coordination of Mid- and Long-Term Planning, and Forestry Development Control. According to him, the 7 points must be reviewed to see its compatibility with the National Forestry Plan. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Semakin menyerang, kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Biar awal
awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran. Namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwa. Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan perasaanku hingga membuat kau percaya, akan ku berikan seutuhnya rasa cintaku selamanya, selamanya.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
The province of Bangka Belitung Island off the eastern coast of Sumatra has two main islands, namely Bangka and Belitung. If you travel to Bangka, you will find a row of beautiful beaches, one of which is Tongachi Beach. Like other beaches in Bangka, in Tongachi Beach, there are granite rocks towering high on the shoreline. Even though it has similarities to beaches in general in Bangka, Tongachi Beach has a special charm. The beach has a nursery for sea turtle babies, also known as turtle hatchlings. Tonga Kalimati Beach is located on Laut Street in Pasir Village, Sungai Liat. It is not far from Sungai Liat Town, the capital of Bangka Regency, which is around 7 kilometers and can be reached using two-wheeled or four-wheeled vehicle. It takes about 45 minutes to travel. To enter the beach, you only need to pay for an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah or about 60 US cent. While entering the beach, you will be greeted by the beautiful beach at South Sand. Here you can swim as much as you like. Don't be afraid of being carried away by the waves, because Tongatiu Beach has been completed with wave-breaking stones. Besides swimming, you can play with the water by trying a banana boat or canoe. For those of you who like taking photos, there are numbers of interesting photo spots in the area. Beach managers adorn the panorama along the beach entrance with colorful umbrellas. You can also take photos with the umbrellas in the background. There are restaurants, bars, and cafes there that offers various Bangka culinary delights that you can enjoy. There's also the Garuda Museum, which collects old books from the Dutch colonial period, and a book gallery. At Tongati Beach, there is a turtle baby hatchery, which makes it different from other beaches in Bangka. The hatchery was initiated on May 28, 2009, but it was only open to the public in January 2015. There are hundreds of green and hawksbill turtles hatchlings kept here. If the turtles successfully hatch and grow up, they will be returned to the sea 1 mile from Tongati Beach. In this hatchery, you can see turtle eggs, turtle babies, and even adult turtles ready to be released into the wide ocean.
Yeah.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, in commemorating its 50th anniversary, Lonely Planet released a list of the 50 best destinations for traveling in 2024. In this release, the city of Jakarta is included in the best cities to visit in 2024 category, according to Lonely Planet. The leading travel magazine from the United States placed Jakarta in 7th place out of 10 selected cities from around the world, surpassing Prague in Czech Republic, Izmir, Turkey, and Kansas City, United States of America. Meanwhile, the first to sixth place are occupied by Nairobi, Paris, Montreal, Mostar, Philadelphia, and Manaus. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, said that this award was an important momentum for Jakarta to gain a new identity from being a capital city to becoming a world destination that must be visited by travel enthusiasts. Meanwhile, Deputy for Marketing at the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nimade Ayu Martini, explained that based on statistics from January to June 2023, Jakarta was visited by 798,163 foreign tourists. Jakarta is one of the most populous cities in the world and has a variety of tourism attractions. Tourists can enjoy budget shopping destinations in Tanah Abang, two luxury ones in prestigious malls such as Grand Indonesia, and even city tours at night in the South Jakarta area. Apart from that, tourists can also hunt for typical and legendary creative economy products in Sarinah and go to famous culinary areas in the Blok M, Pecenongan, Pasar Baru, Mangga Dua, and Kelapa Gading areas. The uniqueness of a metropolitan city will be felt along the way as travelers explore Jakarta. Apart from culinary tourism, Jakarta also has a lot of potential for developing historical, cultural, and nature tourism. Tourists can visit various museums and the national monument to find out the ins and outs of Indonesia's long history, as well as visiting the mangrove area in Angke Kapuk, North Jakarta. That was Miscellany.
Thank you.
listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we're going to give you one wonderful song coming from Stinky. Stinky is an Indonesian music group formed in Jakarta in 1992. The initial formation of this music group was fronted by Andre Taulani as a vocalist, Nang S. Hartanto as guitarist, Nano Helman as guitarist, Irwan Batara as bassist, and Edi Darmawan as a drummer. Their first album entitled Stinky contained 10 songs, with the song Mungkinkah as the main song. The song, which was released in 1997, describes someone who is in a long-distance relationship. The song is a signature song in Stinky's career. Now, the song Mungkinkah is still popular because it has an easy listening melody and lyrics. Well, listener, here is Stinky with Mungkinkah.
Tetes air mata basahi pipimu di saat kita kan berpisah. Terucapkan janji padamu kasihku, takkan ku lupakan dirimu. Begitu beratnya
Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta untukmu yang telah lama ingin ku katakan, sungguh takkan ku ingkari. Hari demi hari telah terlewati, tapi dirimu selalu di hatiku. Kau pujaanku, kau bidadariku. Jangan tutup dirimu sebelum aku datang. Biarkan ku mencoba menjadi milikmu. Jangan tutup cintaimu, jangan tutup dirimu. Tak banyak yang dapat kulakukan untuk membuktikan cintaku, tapi kata hati yang tulus dan suci, aku cinta kamu. Hari demi hari telah terlewati, tapi dirimu selalu di hatiku. Kau pujaanku, kau bidadariku. Jangan tutup dirimu sebelum biarkan ku mencoba menjadi milikmu. Jangan tutup dirimu. Salahkah diri ini yang mencintaimu? Jangan tutup. Tapi dirimu selalu di hatiku. Kau pujaanku, kau bidadariku. Jangan tutup dirimu sebelum aku datang. Biarkan ku mencoba menjadi tutup dirimu. Salahkah diri ini yang mencintaimu? Jangan tutup dirimu. Dan memang ku akui, setulus hatiku aku cinta padamu. Salahkah diri ini yang mencintaimu? Jangan tutup dirimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hidup ini takkan indah tanpa kau ada di hati. Ceria ini takkan ada tanpa kau ada di sisi. Kekasihku, kau bunga mimpiku, tiada yang lain hanya dirimu. Yang ku sayang dan selalu ku kenang, kan selalu bersama dalam suka dan duka.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.